here today, we're going to talk about tearing the roof off. Mark 2, verse 1, great scripture. A few days later, when Jesus was entering Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home, and they gathered in large numbers, that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men carrying a paralytic man carried by four of them, so they could not get in to Jesus because of the crowd. They made an opening in the roof above Jesus, digging through it. And they lowered the mat of the man who was lying on. And Jesus saw their faith, and he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Shut the gate. Now some of the teachers of the law, the religious people, were thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew what they were thinking in his spirit Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things?" Isn't it funny that Jesus already knows what you're thinking about? And he said, "Which is easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately, he got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of all of them. And they were amazed. And this amazed everybody. And they praised God, saying, "We have seen a remarkable thing. We have seen a remarkable thing." I love this story. You know, and I love that in the story we see that God is willing to heal people. He's eager to heal people. And I love the Easter story because we see that in Easter, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But on the same day, every whipping, every beating, the crown of thorns, the spear in his side, the anguish, the separation from God, was all for a purpose. It was for our healing. And you see, if you were to ask me, "Does God want to heal you today?" The answer is yes. The answer is yes. And I know that because of the great lengths God has gone to for your healing. And if the healing and salvation happened on the same day, and God is so for salvation, we know that God is so for healing in your body. The truth is, you don't have to live with cancer. You don't have to live with your arthritis. God can heal you. Last year, you would have heard me talk about the four influences of healing and how there are things that we can do and how God's in control and how there's an enemy that we have to fight. But I can stand on a rock and the Bible where we know that God is a healing God. And so, come on, let's thank God for doing that and believing all of that. You know, here's a great quote. "Healing is not a reward for the righteous. It's the bread of the children of God." This is what we live on. This is who we are. Healing is who we are. You know, I love that we surround ourselves with faith-filled people. You know, this person, this is a great story because we forget that these stories are real, right? I mean, this person is not a church person, he's not a Christian, but he had four friends who had faith. He had four friends that knew about Jesus healing him. How did they know? How did these four friends know? Maybe they heard around the beggars' tents as they're warming their hands maybe in the fire late at night. And now the stories are circulating. For the first time in the history of their world, now lepers are healed. Never before could a leper be healed. But now Jesus is healing the sick. And now he's back in town. There's a meeting going on. So they say to their friend, "Come on, you're coming to church. Whether you like it or not, you're coming." And he may be like trying to wriggle. He's paralyzed. He can't do anything. What's he going to do? He can't do anything. So they like plop him on the stretcher. He's complaining. I'm not going to church. They put some little gaffer tape on him. And maybe you need to do that to get somebody to Easter service. Come on, somebody. Just got to bring them along. You know what? Pastor Dan's right. And I would even take this further. Inviting somebody is not enough. Go and pick them up. Just drive by. It's worth the drive for their soul. Come on, somebody. Just pick them up. Bring them to church. Take them out for lunch afterwards. Come on, give God a clap if you're going to clap. Clap properly. They bring this guy to church. Here they go. He's got a little gaffer tape on. They taped him all up. And they get there. Oh, how disappointing. The Rock Church is filled. Everybody did what Pastor Dan asked. They all brought their friends and family. Even in the overflow, they're full. So they're thinking, what are we going to do? They're Christians. So they have a prayer meeting. God, they're speaking in tongues. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And they're looking up. They think, the roof. The roof. Good idea. The guy, he's not so keen. He's not the roof. It's like, well, you've got the gaffer tape. You've got no problem. One, two, three. Throw them on the roof. They're on the roof now. And so this is happening. Like Jesus is having communion, and now there's dust coming down from the roof. These people are digging in the roof, dust coming down. If this was happening today on Jessica's new carpet, you know, the nice carpet, the nice tiles, the screen, you know, and Pastor Dan's having communion, and like security would be called. Brian, security would be called, right? We have snipers in this church. Somebody, you'd be out. We live in America. Bang! It would be, they're digging a hole. And then they're lowering him. In front of Jesus. They must be in the youth department. It'll be Titus for sure. He'll be like, this is awesome! And if you're in the youth department, you can get away with anything. You can put a hole in the wall, break a window, it doesn't matter. It's a youth department. They're all laughing. And everybody's just like looking. Jesus looks. This guy looks at these guys. They're all the teenagers, you know, like, we lowered them down. High five, legend. Jesus looks at him. Looks at them and says, because of their faith, your sins are forgiven. I don't know where the theologians are, but I might be wrong. But I think this is the first time somebody else's sins are forgiven because of somebody else's faith. He did nothing. He was gaffer taped. But because of their stretch, wow. Wouldn't it be amazing if you brought somebody into the house of God because of your faith? If you stretched this Easter, if you stretched this tonight and brought somebody into the house of God because you had faith and they were saved. Come on, give God a clap. Could you do it? Could you do it? And then they're all whinging. They're going, I don't like it. Who can forgive but God alone? Jesus, being God, knew what they're talking about. He says, hey, listen, just to prove a point, get up and walk. And the guy goes, okay, gets up and walks. Everybody goes, wow, this is amazing. You know what? You have to surround yourself with great friends. Surrounding yourself with great friends is the key to a healing moment. Why is that? Because we all need encouragement. Everybody needs somebody when you're feeling down to bring you back to church. Sometimes it takes a crowd. Sometimes it takes more than one invitation. It takes four people to get one person into the house of God, but a miracle can happen because of your stretch and your faith and your belief. I thank God for people in my life who brought me to church, who came into my hospital room and said, "Andrew, we believe in a different report." Do you know those people were so beautiful and so kind? When I was very sick, they were the youth pastors of the church, and we had a youth camp. And of course, we all love youth camps when you're a youth. And I wanted to go, but because I had no neutrophils and I was still recovering, you know, my parents said I wasn't allowed to go. So my youth pastors came and had a meeting with my parents and said, "Listen, we want Andrew to come. And so what we've decided to do is he's going to be in his own separate cabin, and we are going to clean the whole cabin with alcohol swabs. So the whole cabin is a sterile environment. We're going to buy a brand new mattress for him, a brand new pillow, brand new linen, so everything is clean. And as a youth camp, we are all going to wear masks so that Andrew doesn't have to wear a mask." And my parents said, "All right, he can go." That was the camp that God spoke to me about being a healing evangelist. That was the camp that God talked to me. 30 years on, how about this? 30 years on, I'm visiting New Zealand, like 6 months ago, visiting New Zealand with my other son, Samuel. We're sitting having a coffee with the lady who prayed for me and all those years ago when I was in my hospital room, my youth pastor. She tells me that she is dying of a terminal disease, leukemia, the same disease that I had all those years ago. And she said, "I'm very sorry," but she said, I'm here." And I said to her with a smile on my face, "Well, Jocelyn, thank God I'm here, because we are going to receive a miracle." And she said, "No, Andrew, I'm going to share with God's sufferings, and I'm happy to die." I said, "Well, I don't accept that report. That's a bad report. I don't believe that report. I believe another report. I believe that Jesus can heal you." And so we're having a little argument about this. And I said to her, "Why don't you come to my service? It was 2 hours away on the Sunday." And she said, "Oh, I'm not sure. I said, "Come on, you've got to come." I said, "You prayed for me, I'm going to pray for you." So she was so nervous because it had been a long time. And she didn't come into the service. She drove, but she was 20 minutes in the car. And then she came at the end of the service. I want to tell you, it was like laser focus, like there was only one person in the room. And I prayed for her. I prophesied. I said, "The doctors are going to change the report. Everything's going to change." I said, "You're going to be healed. They're going to be confused. They're going to say we've misdiagnosed." And I said, "And all cancer is going to leave your body." And I said, "And this is going to happen in a 3-day period." 3 days later, she got the all clear. Everything turned around. No cancer in her body. The doctors are confused. And she was healed in that moment. I want to tell you something. Not many people will tell you this. If you're in the wrong environment, it can suck your faith away. The same woman who walked into my hospital room said, "In the name of Jesus, we believe for healing," was the same person saying, "I don't know if God can heal anymore." And that's why I thank God for the Rock Church in this community that believes in the full gospel of Jesus Christ. That we're not going to come and just give you chocolates, but we're going to pray and believe God. Everybody needs a friend. Everybody needs somebody to stretch and to lift you and to hold you and to celebrate you. You know, it's funny. My family is very different between me and Janine. I'm the youngest of 8 in my family. And, very cold in New Zealand, and that's why there's so many children. My family are a little bit crazy. So, like, for example, at Christmas time back in the day, like, it would be not unusual for, like, a keg of beer to be rolled into the house. They would watch horse races and that kind of environment. It's, like, a little bit secular. Janine's family is different. Like everybody like would hold hands and say grace, like an angel would appear, gold dust would happen, there'd be a prophecy at dessert time. You know, it's different. It's different. In my family, if you said that you had a little lump on your neck, if I rang up my sister, said, oh, I've got a lump on my neck. This is the conversation. She'd go, oh, yes, Auntie Joan had a lump and it wasn't as big as yours and she only lasted 2 weeks. And I go, oh, thanks for the encouragement. And come on, somebody. Has somebody got a crazy family member? And then this is what's going to happen. My sister would ring up all the other family members. Have you heard about Andrew's lump? Yes, Auntie Joan had one and it wasn't as big as that. And then, come on, all my family would ring up all the cousins. Right? And say, have you heard about Andrew's lump? And before you know it, you're dead. They've got you. They've got the whole thing. You're gone. Janine's family, different. Way different. I got a lump. Okay, there'd be a communion moment. People would come to my house, and I'd have to have like communion 30 times. Every person, communion, communion, communion. There'd be a prayer meeting. I'd be like covered in oil. There'd be so much oil on my head. I'd be prayed for. I'd be like slain in the spirit like 10 times. It's different. They're believing that Jesus is going to heal me. On this side of the family, and this is important, and this is why I'm talking about it, is because we're praying for you on an altar, and we're praying against witchcraft. We're praying against spoken words, and you're wondering why, but actually the reason why is because you have created the drama that has been around you. If the Bible says there's power of life and death in your words, if you've got a lump, shut up. Shut up. Don't tell the unbelieving person expecting a good result. Tell the man of God. Tell the person with faith. Tell somebody who's going to help you, pull you out of a pit. Tell somebody who's going to put your hand on you and prophesy healing in life. The Bible says it like this. If you're sick, come to church and let the elders pray for you. If you've sinned, confess your sin. The prayer of a righteous man will rise you up. Who are the elders of the church? The men and women of God who are fired up. They're not practicing. We're not practicing today. We're believing that something is going to turn for you. A miracle is going to shift in your life. Something is shifting. A miracle, cancer's leaving. I know that Pastor Dan, at the prayer meeting where they were laying hands on me, I said, come on, pray for me. I could feel the fire of God. I could feel the anointing of God. And I don't want to come up without it. I don't want to stand on a pulpit without God coming through my life and through our life, through my bones. I want to tell you, Rock Church, we're not practicing. We believe this stuff. We believe that when you surround yourself with people of faith, something can turn for you. And this is what the Rock Church is. Together, the person you're sitting beside, together as we pray, things are shifting. I wonder if the worship team could join me. You gotta take bold action. Bold action. You know, where was the bold action for me? Well, it was that girl, wasn't it? That youth pastor who walked into my room, husband and wife. But she was the one who had the faith. She was the one who put her hand on me, believing that something would turn. They had to drive quite a few hours to be in that room. Where's the bold action? In our church, Peter Scarborough drove 12 hours to our service with Parkinson's disease. Could hardly stand, shaking. You can watch the testimony online, over 300,000 views on YouTube. And when we prayed for him as a church, prayed together, bang, here his healing came. A miracle for him. Recently, in my life, we need to have good friends and bold action. I was diagnosed to be very sick. I had a ruptured appendix. I didn't know appendix was such a big deal, but actually it's quite sore. And as I was in the ambulance by myself and they're pumping me with all the good stuff, I remember just praying. I was afraid. When I was in the emergency ward all by myself, I was dozing in and out of consciousness, not consciousness, but like sleep because of the high morphine content. And then all of a sudden, I saw an angel in the room. My wife, Janine, holding my hand, praying out loud, speaking in tongues, not giving a rip who else was in the room, but bold action taking place. I tell you right now, I fell in love with her again. I was like, oh my gosh, my wife, she's got the jungle juice. She's got the power. She's got it. She's happening. Oh, I felt so good. I felt so good. And here she was just praying the whole time. I'm sure they thought we were crazy, but you know what? I didn't care. I think there are other people who are jealous in the room. I was there very early in the morning, and then I went to the ward and I was very sick. 10 o'clock at night, been a long time. They still couldn't fit me into the operating table. And one of the surgeons came out to me and said, Andrew, I know this sounds strange, but there's even sicker people before you. And so I don't think we can operate on you tonight. I said, that's fine. I know exactly where I'm going. And so we were praying. And you know what? Another amazing thing happened. I had a Christian nurse. And I just want to celebrate the nurses in our community and the doctors. They do a great job. And this nurse, she was just running back and forward like she was amazing. And she came and she looked at my chart, looked how sick I was, took my temperature, did everything like this. And she went into the surgery and said to the head surgeon, you need to get Andrew into this room. And so the head surgeon said to me at midnight, Andrew, we have to get you in today because you're not going to be here tomorrow. And they operated on me, and here I am today, 3 weeks later. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Janine. I do like you. You're a fox. You're hot. You're beautiful. Got to tell her all these things. She's very insecure. Have you got a friend? Have you got a friend? Can you be a friend? Can you be a friend that will take bold action for somebody? A family member, perhaps? Can you be a friend? Come on. Can you be a friend? Can something shift in you? What's it going to take? Can something shift in you? That you bring somebody to church tonight, to Easter service? Come on, Easter. Man. I love the story. Jesus says, which is easier for me to heal, to save him, to heal him? Which is easier? It's a trick. Trick question. Jesus did it all on the same day. Same effort on the same day for both things. Why did Jesus say your sins are forgiven? If we were in a Benny Hinn meeting and the person was paralyzed and Benny said, your sins are forgiven, we'd go, well, that's nice. But we'd all like to see him walk. Jesus addresses the first and greatest priority of the man's life, the condition of his soul. Jesus knew you can get to heaven paralyzed, but you can't get to heaven with sin in your life. You can't get to heaven without a relationship with God. It's the honest truth. Otherwise, why would Jesus, what's the point of Easter? Why would Jesus die on a cross? So, Jesus taps into this. He says, hey, the greatest miracle, let me just break all the rules and just tell you the greatest moment of any person's life is your eternity. because it's forever, and it's actually a really long time. You don't think it is, but it's forever. Your sins are forgiven. The greatest miracle just happened right then. And then he just says, hey, listen, just to let you know that I know that you know that I'm a kind of a big deal and I can do this, get up and walk. Just to prove a point. It was like a by the by. The greatest miracle was his sins forgiven. Church, you know what? We are all in times where we flux with God from time to time. Where we're in relationship with God and then for some reason, whatever, the busyness of life, we're just robbed of intimacy. But we need to come back. We need to come back. And I believe that we're in revival moments for the Rock Church as we come back to God and get this fire and this tenacity. Something's going to shift. When we're honest with God and in a relationship with God, things are going to turn for us like you've never seen before. Miracle after miracle after miracle is going to take place. And I say this in my church all the time. Every service, we pray a prayer asking people to consider their salvation moment, where they stand with God. And in a moment, I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen, and then we're going to do it. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. The reason for that is because when we close your eyes, everything else disappears. But it's like your soul, your thoughts are illuminated. And I want you to ask this question to God. Am I in relationship with God? I reckon it's a fair question. It's not manipulative. It's just you and God talking. And what I know for sure is God will talk to you. Sure, there may not be an audible voice booming down from heaven, but there will be a knowing, a prompting inside your soul. And I want you to respond to that. For many people, God, you, before you even pray, you already know where you stand with God. You actually do. So it's not a matter of whether or not you'll hear from God, it's whether you'll be obedient in this moment. Whether you'll humble yourself and say, God, I need you in my life again. I need you in my life. So at the end of that prayer, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand where you are. I'll see that hand, I ask you to put it down. Then all together, we're going to pray a prayer together, the same prayer that I prayed when I was 15 years old, asking Jesus to come into my life, saying sorry for any sin in my life, and accepting him as my Lord and Savior. But I would like to pray for you personally because this is a big deal. And not to do that would be amiss, because I believe that prayer is powerful and this decision is going to last for an eternity. And so why don't we just close our eyes and then we're going to pray for people who are sick in this room and we're going to ask God to do this. So God, we just thank you for those people who are here for the first time, second time, maybe visiting from another church and they're saying, Andrew, it's true. I know about God, but if I'm honest, I'm not in relationship with him. Not like you're talking about, but something has to shift for me. Maybe you're here and you're visiting. Or you've once dedicated your life to the Lord, but for whatever reason, you've fallen away. You need to come back. Or maybe you're here to say, Andrew, you know what? If I was to face death like you had to as a teenager, or even recently when you had your appendix out, if I was to walk out of this room and get hit by a car today, stand before God, I don't know if I'd be in heaven or hell. There'd be a fear and uncertainty around that moment. But would you pray with me? So I can walk in that relationship with God, have an assurance of my salvation. Friend, if you're in one of those categories, if you've once known Jesus, but you've fallen away from him, you've come into Jesus for the very first time, or you need an assurance of your salvation, where you're seated, I want you to lift your hand just right now so I can see who I'm praying for. Lift them high so I can see. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you over here as well. Thank you over here, thank you over here. At the top, who else? Thank you, thank you. Who else over here? Thank you at the top as well. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Who else is saying, Andrew, that's me. Over this side now so I can see who I'm praying for. Thank you over here, thank you. Who else today? You're saying, Andrew, that's me. Thank you so much for all those hands that are lifted up. Come on, let's give God a big, big clap and thank you for doing that. I want to pray for you. So amazing. You know what? If you lifted your hand, as I said before, we were going to pray this prayer together and out loud so you don't feel embarrassed. But I would love to pray for you personally because I think this is a big moment. If you've got a friend and they lifted their hand, come on, why don't you bring them to the altar today so we can pray? Why don't we stand? Let's clap. If you lifted your hand, or maybe you didn't lift your hand, but you want to come, come. I want you to come. I'm going to meet you down here. I'm going to shake your hand. I want you to come. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Bless you. Come, 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 come. At the back, I'll wait for you. I'll wait for you. I'll wait for you. Please come. Please come. Please come. Please come. I want to pray for you. Come, 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 come. I'll wait for you. Come. Come. Keep coming. If you want to come, come. 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 Bless you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Come. Thank you. Come. So good. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Thank you so much for coming. Come on, why don't we just do that? Why don't we put our hand on our heart today and pray this prayer with me, church. Dear Lord Jesus, this morning I'm asking you into my life as my Lord and Savior. I give you my life. I give you total control. Forgive me for any mistakes I've made, for any sin, because I know you died on a cross to take away the sin of the world. Take away my sin. Today, I am a new creation. I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God, thank you. Bless you guys. Come on, just lift your hands. Come on, church, stretch out your hands to these guys. Let me just pray for you just very quickly. God, I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Here we go. For every life today, every life in Jesus' name, that everything is about to turn for them. Everything's about to shift for them. A miracle in their life. God, we thank you, Lord, that your word says that the old is gone and the new has come. That you remember our sins no more. And God, I pray your blessing upon them. That you would prosper them, look after them in Jesus' name, every single one of them, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you care for them. Lord, I pray, Lord, that healing is going to come into their bodies, healing coming into their lives in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Turning now for them. Come on, church, stretch out your hands. This is an amazing moment. These lives are so precious. God, we thank you, Lord, everything turning, everything shifting in Jesus' name. Many people coming to Christ for the first time, rededicating their lives to the Lord. Miracle after miracle for them in Jesus' name. Precious, precious, Lord, precious in your sight. Every single one of them. In fact, the Bible says that heaven rejoices when one person comes to Christ. And Lord, there's more than one here today in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give God a big clap and thank him. Amen. Bless you so very, very much. Thank you, Lord. Is there somebody here and you've got Crohn's disease? And do you know what that is? Like it's an ulceration in your stomach. Is there somebody here and you're like that? Are you shy? Somebody else in the audience, perhaps. Awesome. Hello. What's happened? Have you got Crohn's disease? Sorry? Why are you? Hello? Hello? What's happening? Oh. Oh, that's so nice. Bad for you. So nice. Come up here. We should be friends. Now, this is not nice, Crohn's disease. How long have you had it for? 15 years? lupus. And you're part of church? Is this your church? Oh, this is Pastor Dan. You probably know him. I like Pastor. Who likes Pastor Dan? A good looking man. Well, so Crohn's disease, 15 years, and you've had lupus or got lupus? And anything else? Yes, other things? Personal things? Thyroid problems? Tumors in your thyroid? So glad you came today.
Kidney problems.
Well, we got a big Jesus. So glad you came. And you know, it's funny because I don't think I've said Crohn's disease. I was going through I've got a little list in my head. I'm going tick 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 tick, and then he said Crohn's disease. And nobody moved, and I was thinking, It's not like I get it right all the time, but I'm hardly ever wrong. And then you popped along. And I reckon God wants you to know He sees you. And I feel like as I'm talking to you, you've been prayed for before, and perhaps it hasn't worked out the way it might have worked out. But today, this is the day the Lord's made. And He sees you. He saw you today. He does. We got a number one catcher. Yeah, that's you. Are you my catcher? Well, don't drop her. You got one job. You got one job. Church, when I see my friend, I think this is my sister. Changes the way that we pray, doesn't it? If it's your mum or your sister here, or your very best friend, you'd be stretching out your hands. Come on. And you'd be praying with a loud voice. God, thank you for healing her. Come on, church. Thank you for healing her. Thank you for healing her. Is there pain in your body somewhere? In your back? Yeah? I'm going to put my hand here. Is that okay? We're going to pray for you. In about 10 seconds, you're going to feel warmth come right through your whole body, and everything is about to turn. Oh, church, you need to do better than that. Come on. Pray. This is your sister. Your very best friend. God, we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Infirmity and sickness, I command her to shift off her life. Shift off her life. Here comes the power of God. Let it fall, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. Lord, your word says that we submit ourselves to you, resisting the devil, and he would flee. And Lord, we command this Crohn's disease, these tumors, this diagnosis, to fall off her life in the name of Jesus. Right now, the power of God, let it fall, 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 let it fall on her life in Jesus' name. Here comes heat coming into your lower back, actually right through your whole body. In the name of Jesus, pain, shift off her life in the name of Jesus. Get off her and never come back. Infirmity and sickness, get off her and never come back. In the name of Jesus, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. The tumors in your neck are going to go. The doctors are going to say, we're confused. We thought it was this, we thought it was that, but no tumors, no operation required. Laughing at the goodness of God. I'm telling you, and I prophesy when I see you on this very pulpit, testifying of the goodness of God, telling the church, God's healed me of lupus, God's healed me of this, God's healed me of that. I didn't think it could happen to me, but it happened to me. I didn't know that Andrew or God would see me, but God saw me. And this is the day that the Lord has made for me. God is telling me this family members are going to be saved in Jesus' name. The unsavable are going to be saved. That's what the Lord says. You said they're unsavable. God says they're savable. Right now, Lord, here comes the power of God falling on your life in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody, give God a big clap. Come on, church, just give God a big, big clap. Isn't He good? Isn't He kind? We've got a few minutes. If you're sick, come, walk out of your seat. Come, let's just pray. Let's just believe God that something's turning for you. A moment, a shift. Someone, one of the pastors, come and just be here. Come quickly. Let's sing this song. It's the God of miracles. Come, if you want to come now and be prayed for, if you need healing in your life, come. Come. Come.
I believe in you.
Come.
I believe in you. You're the God of miracles.
Right.
Come.
You're a VIP guest. How are you feeling? It's big, I know. When I was praying for you, I could feel warmth comes into your back. Could you feel that also? Sweetheart, that's what healing feels like. What do you do?
God appointments. I believe today was a special appointment for me. Jesus.
If you cry, I'm going to cry. You've got to stop that now. Now, you were saying that you believe in God appointments, and today was a God appointment for you.
Yes.
That's what happened. Yes. How are you feeling?
How
are you feeling?
Happy. Very happy.
Yeah.
Very grateful.
Yeah. God. You've got good pastors. Pastor Dan and Jessica, they're so good. Can I tell you something? Something special. I'm going to tell the whole church this. I believe it. You know how I said this power of life and death in your words? There's a fight going on. We can't see it. But the devil, he lives in the parking lot. And what happens is, when you go out, he goes, how can a 30-second moment on stage heal all of this? He tries to whisper to us. But that's why, for the next 48 hours, every time we think about our healing, we just say, God, thank you for my healing. Thank you. Just push. Thank you, God. That one day without pain is going to turn into a week, and that week is going to turn into a lifetime. Lupus gone, Crohn's disease gone, everything gone. You'll stand on this pulpit telling the church, God, heal me. I believe in divine appointments as well. And today was a divine appointment. Give me a little hug. Bless you. Amen. God bless. Come on. Church, can I just tell you something? I mean, tonight's going to be amazing. I'm preaching a message called Who in Hell Knows Jesus. It talks about three people who have knowledge of God but no relationship with God and end up in hell. It's a healing service, but it's a salvation service as well. I want you to bring all your friends and family members, and it's going to be a wild night. But today, I want to tell you something. I feel like I am crazy. I live in the crazy because our church has a healing service online. And what happens is people from all around the world watch us on television, and I pray for people personally in Iraq, Amsterdam, all around the world, and people are being healed. One person who was terminal, unconscious, they wheeled the television, this faith-filled family, wheeled the television into the room. He was completely unconscious. As I called his name, he woke up out of a coma, and he's now healed. I believe it. Things are changing. Things are changing. And so what I want you to know is I know, and tonight we are going to take time because it's the healing service and there's no limits. We're going to pray for people. But I know that God, through the Holy Spirit, can touch people. It's limitless. It's limitless. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer of healing now. It's a prayer of healing and deliverance, because healing and deliverance go together. And I'm believing that a miracle is going to take place in your life. And I believe that something so spectacular is going to happen in the Rock Church that we are going to see testimonies like we've never seen before. I was so encouraged with Pastor Dan as we walked around the outreach yesterday. Two or three people come up to us and said, you know, I was healed, I was healed, I was healed. And it's just going to be amplified. Come on, lift your hands today. Thank you. Just sing over us as we... I want you to pray this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus,
I believe in you.
Your word says that we submit our lives to you, resisting the devil, and that he would flee. So today, I submit my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and I command the devil to get off, to get out of my life. I command the spirit of death and destruction to leave my life in the name of Jesus. Infirmity and sickness, get off my life in the name of Jesus. I command the spirit of pain and sickness to shift off my life today. Your word says, by your stripes, I am healed. So today I accept the healing power of God in my life, in the name of Jesus Christ. And here comes the power of God, the mighty rushing wind. Lift your hands, friends. Come on, church, sing the song. Here comes. God, I thank you. One, two, three. In Jesus' name. Right to the very back of a Chloe in the name of Jesus. Healing in your voice, Chloe. Jesus' name. Healing in the bodies. Jesus' name. Healing in the life. In the name of Jesus. From the top to the bottom. From the front to the back. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. Jesus now. Falling, let it fall, let it fall, let it fall. Let it fall with your hands raised. Start to say, God, thank you for healing me. 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 Thank you for healing me.
I believe in you.
I believe in you. Falling, falling, falling. Come on, let's go.
I want to ask a question, all right? All those of you who are believing for healing, whether you're up here at the altar or even out there in the seats, because distance doesn't matter to God. Jesus would send forth a word and people miles away would get healed. Why don't you just test out your body for a second? Just check. Is the pain still there? Can I do the thing that I couldn't do before? Maybe you couldn't move your leg, or maybe you couldn't move your head a certain way without pain or something. Just test yourself out real quick. Check it out. Now, be honest. Okay, you're in church. Don't lie. All right? If you still feel the pain, that's okay. All right? But if something's changed already, you can tell. There's a difference. Would you just lift up a hand and let us know there's already a difference? Hold on. Don't lie. Come on. You're telling the truth right now, okay? Because I don't want any fakers, all right? You tested it out, and something's really changed. Look at this. Look at this. Just look around. Look around. Look around. Look around. Look at even up in the... Even up in the back rows, people are saying, I tested it out. I see you guys way up there. Look at you guys. Look at all around. All around. Now, there were some of you guys that you really wanted to change, right? But you didn't feel it yet. Can I tell you something? That's okay. Because Jesus would pray for people, and they didn't get healed right away. Check your Bible. There were people that Jesus spoke a word of healing. He said, I want you to go and show yourself to a priest. And the Bible says that they got healed, listen to this, on the way. It didn't happen immediately. There was one guy Jesus prayed for. He said, tell me, he was blind. He said, tell me, what do you see? And he started to look around. He said, I see people walking around like trees. You know what that means? His vision was still blurry. He didn't get immediately completely healed right away. Jesus prayed for him a second time. That's where some of you guys have been prayed for a lot of times and you feel guilty. You feel like God's not, it didn't stick to me. Maybe I'm too sinful. Maybe I'm too, no. Jesus prayed for people more than once. And listen to what happened. The second time he prayed for him, second time he touched him, he got healed. That's why if you didn't get healed right now, hey, come back tonight at 6 p.m. We're going to pray again. Right after church service, some of you guys, man, I wish Pastor Andrew would have laid hands on me and prayed for me personally. Listen, you don't need Pastor Andrew. You need God, right? You need God to touch you. You need God to heal you. Don't look to man. But we're going to have prayer teams that if you want the laying on of you want somebody to put their hands on you and pray for you right after church, there'll be prayer teams at this altar that would love to believe God to pray for you. If you want anointing with oil, like you said, you want somebody to be crazy praying in tongues, hey, we got some crazy people who would love to do that for you, all right? They're going to be up here right after church service to pray for you. Now, for the rest of you guys, all right? Remember the ones that didn't raise their hand, but you were believing for healing? Keep the faith switch turned on. What do I mean by that? I want you to continue to confess, I'm healed. I'm healed by his stripes. I was healed. Thank you, God, for my healing. In fact, let's practice that right now. Say, thank you, God, for my healing. Come on, say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Hey, until it comes to pass in your life. We're not manifesting this on our own. No. What are we doing? We're keeping faith in God who heals, right? Come on, give the Lord one more great big praise today. Hallelujah. Tonight, 6 p.m., we're going to be praying for healing. We're going to see miracles. Bring someone back with you that needs that. For those of you that got saved, you gave your heart and life to the Lord, this is Pastor Joel. He's got some free materials for you. He wants to just connect with you. So if you guys would just make a left turn and follow him, that way everybody else, you can head back to your seat. But if you got saved, you prayed that prayer with us today, you can head that direction right there. For those of you joining us online, if you prayed that prayer of salvation with us, right after we dismiss today, there'll be some instructions for you to get a hold of those same materials and those same connections. And know that if you're in the area, we would love to have you here in the house in person. Can I pray for you guys? Would you let me bless you as we go today? Just lift your hands to the Lord right now. That's where the blessing's coming from. And I'm gonna just wait a second because I'm going to run up this aisle so I can greet you guys out there in the back. And make sure to grab some materials on your way out to invite someone to Easter. It's going to be bananas. Amen. This is going to be like Easter altar call every time. Praise the Lord. I'm still waiting because I'm going to run up that aisle. So praise the Lord. Let me bless you. Father, these are your people called by your name. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming and going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. Lord, with a great big shout of faith about our area, we declare that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.